Hey, thanks for listening. This is Toast.
And this is Sienna.
And you're listening to Girl Meets Girl. You probably knew that already. This is episode number 98. And the title for this episode is Dealing with Exes. You can't live with them. And you can't live with them. So we're going to have fun talking about that today. Oh, yes. Fun. Also in this episode, Andagi and Malasaras. What that is, that's Hawaii talk for you guys coming up. Speaking of Hawaii, we also have another track being featured from Darlene Ahuna's newest CD and Sienna's experiences with the DMV of a gay nature. Oh, yes. All of that's coming up. But first, we have some announcements.
Okay, our first announcement is a big old apology.
A big one.
To the no offense lady that we met at the Women on a Roll Luau. Because after we did that podcast and we heard it, we were like, we felt really bad because
we didn't mean to make like so much fun.
Yeah. I mean, it was funny while it was happening. But like we said, she had some drinks and so... You know, she's probably not like that every day. And so we just felt bad.
And she was funny. And
kind of no class.
Yeah.
Us.
Yeah. So don't do like how we did.
Yeah. So anyways, okay. So
our apologies to her. Okay. The next announcement is just a housekeeping item. We want to let you know that we have been dealing regularly and often with some spam comments on our podcast blog site. And we know it's not you, but, you know, spending too much time dealing with that lately. So we're looking into moving to a new podcast blog. So that's in the works behind the scenes.
And join our community.
Yes. Thank you for those of you who have joined and posted up pictures and started conversations and stuff. Thank you, Dale, for all the suggestions. I saw that the other day. So yeah, thanks, you guys.
And there's, you know, if you have a chance, just go check it out because there's some incredible artwork
and
some photos on there.
You guys are talented and you're cute.
Yeah.
So check yourselves out. We have a link in the show notes at girlmeetsgirlpodcast.com. Oh, and by the way, our website is also girlmeetsgirl.net. So we're trying to get it together, but we have two domain names. Anyways, it's all linked together. Okay. So... Now that announcements are done with, you want to start talking about our adventures in the gardens and stuff like that?
Yep.
Okay. So this first topic has to do with like veggie stuff, vegetarian stuff and hippie type stuff like that, like growing sprouts. So we wanted to get a sprouting jar for a friend of ours as a gift because she's a gardener. Just as a token, right? Gift. So I couldn't believe how difficult it was to find a sprouting jar. I don't know how many calls. I'm going to list all the stores that I called to find out if they carried a sprouting jar. Okay. And keep in mind, a sprouting jar is a very simple thing.
It's just a glass jar with a net top.
With a screw top. You probably don't even need an official sprouting jar to grow sprouts. You just... put some...
But if you're giving a present, you can't just give like a mayonnaise jar.
Right. Mayonnaise jar with holes poked in the top. No, you can't do that. Okay. Yeah, I just wanted a screen top. But okay, here are the places I called. I called Whole Foods Market. I called a cooking store. I tried Ace Hardware. You know, they have gardening things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but they didn't have it either. I tried calling another home and garden store. I called two other produce market type stores that seem to be very concerned about carrying quality produce, fresh, locally grown. I called even Wild Birds Unlimited.
Because I said to try them.
Well, I thought that was a good shot. They're a store that carries... supplies for bird feeding,
but also for the gardener,
right? For gardeners, right?
But what did the lady say when you called her?
I said, do you have a sprouting jar? She goes, no, this is Wild Birds Unlimited. So I said, okay, thank you. And I also tried calling a large nursery, you know, but how many places is that? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 8 places, and none of them had a sprouting jar that they carried. So we ended up getting something else for our friend. But I was just amazed at how hard it was to find it. And
okay,
it's such a simple product. It does not take up a lot of shelf space. And I was like, wow, you know, our society does not make it easy to grow your own food. This is just sprouts. You just add water and keep it in a jar. Yeah. So anyway, I thought of you all when I had that experience, and I was like, I got to share it with these guys.
But you can, I mean, it's easy to find in terms of like, you can find a ton of sprouting jars online.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
You can find sprouting jars, like if you go to Santa Monica or West LA, but driving there for us at that time was just not part of the, our plan.
Yeah. We didn't want to drive, you know, an hour to get a jar.
Yeah. And we just, and honestly, we really thought, okay, we live in this community. There's going to be a sprouting jar. So it's not really like, it's just, find it.
Yeah. We were just surprised.
Give yourself some time though to get one.
Just order it online, you know, like that eyeliner pencil thing, right?
Yep. Order it online.
Okay. Also in garden news, we visited our friend's place, and they have a backyard garden, and it was just incredible. Lots of exotic produce like bitter melon and guava, mm-hmm, and squash.
She had a ton of guava trees, yeah. A ton.
Yeah. So it was really cool.
And it was hot, but we won't even go and get into that, but yeah. It was really hot, and she had peppers and... Mm-hmm. Squash.
And I think she had grapes, but we couldn't tell because we're still being educated in what plants look like.
Right. Non-Hawaii plants.
Right. We saw persimmon plant too. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. So while we were on hiatus, I don't think we mentioned to all of you, but Toast and I got domestic partnered.
Hi, this is my domestic partner, Sienna. Doesn't have the same ring to it.
What did you do?
Tried it out.
Oh, like if you introduce me?
Yeah.
Oh. Anyways.
You can say partner. Sounds like business partner.
So we did that. We were actually waiting around to see what was going to happen because we missed actually getting married. Mm-hmm. And then we thought, they'll get it right. And then they didn't. And so we're like, okay, let's just do this paperwork. So anyway, so we did that. And I decided to add Toast's name to my name. So anyways, part of that process, I realized, wow, I'm going to have to change a lot of things. So the first step was to go to the Social Security office, and they had never seen that paper before. Can you believe that?
I'm quite shocked.
So it was pretty ridiculous because, okay, I didn't have an appointment, but I walked in there and I thought, okay, I'll just wait. There's a lot of windows here. And, about half an hour went by, and after half an hour goes by, I'm like, well, I might as well just keep waiting because I waited a half an hour. So I waited probably about an hour and a half. And when they called me to the window, you know, the lady, I was like, oh no. She was like typing in her computer. And, you know, she's totally searching for the protocol, like what she's like, supposed to do.
What to do with this domestic partnership thingy.
Yeah. And then she took my papers and she goes, oh, I'll be right back. And then there goes my papers wandering around that back office. And she really didn't know what to do. So she comes back and says, you know, I don't think I can do this for you. And I'm like, oh God. And so she said, I need the other form. And I just kept telling the lady, I have no other form. They didn't send me another form.
The state of California did not send another form.
Yeah.
Right?
And yeah. So I said, this is all I got. This is all I got. And so she said, okay, well, you know what? I'll call you later to let you know if I can do it or not. So I'm like, oh, okay. Well, she called me later and said that she could do it, but not because of the papers I brought in, but because of some other combination of IDs that I had. So I thought that was pretty ridiculous. And it practically scared me because the next step I had to make was to go to the DMV. And I really put that one off. I was like, oh, I don't want to go to the DMV. But anyways, okay, so this time I made an appointment. And I went down there. And I brought it to the lady. And I see the look again. The confused
partner.
Look.
What is that?
And then typing. Tap, 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 tap. And she goes, okay, I'll be right back. There goes my papers wandering all around the office. And I'm like, oh, no. And she comes back. And so I'm feeling kind of grouchy, but I'm trying not to be grouchy because it's not going to help, right?
Right.
So instead I said, oh, I bet you don't see many of these papers. And she goes, I've never seen one in my life. So I'm like, okay.
How long has domestic partnership been around in California?
So I just took a deep breath and I thought, okay, I just wanted to leave there with the job done.
Right.
Name changed.
On
brand
the license.
New photo, thank God. And, you know, just have it be done with. So the lady says, so you're not married? And I said, no. She goes, so this is not marriage. I go, no, not really. And she goes, but you have to be a girl and a girl or a boy and a boy. And I said, well, you could be a girl and a boy. And so I think I was just confusing her.
They don't discriminate in this form of, you know, partnership. The discrimination is in the other one.
So I was kind of uncomfortable because the window that I approached when it was my turn was pretty much, you know, there were a lot of people around. And then she says, but do you have to sleep together? So I was pretty shocked. And I said,
that's none of your business.
Not really. I guess you wouldn't, you know.
In front of who? Like to get the paper signed, right? I mean, it's like, what? Okay.
So anyways, then, okay. So after all of that,
that's
right?
So
then she says, well, I have a roommate. Can I do it? So it was just pretty much an adventure at the DMV. But the great thing is that it got done.
Yes.
Yay. It got done.
And as you were having that experience at the Social Security office and the DMV, you were thinking of the podcast listener.
Yes. I thought all of you should know this because I was pretty shocked that the two people I went to see had never seen that paper, had never done that before. So I think that says a lot.
And they weren't even aware of what it was. You know, they weren't like, oh, yeah, yeah. Wow, I've never done this before. Okay, I better heard about it. No.
Okay, Kumin is here distracting because she's trying to be a gymnast.
Okay, so we're going to take a little gymnast break.
She's trying to jump up. Okay, yeah, hold on, people. Okay, we saved Kumin, so she's fine now. Okay, so now on to our topic, and our topic is about exes. Now, there's so much to say about this topic, so we're just going to kind of cover... There was something that came up, and we're not going to get into it, but it really just started up a possible podcast topic. So
we thought, great.
Yeah, great. And so we just welcome any experiences that you want to share. Please just, you can email, or you know what? It would be so great if you want to join the community, and we can start some, you know, a little healing forum on the exes.
How to behave.
How to behave, yeah.
If you are an ex.
But basically, okay, we're going to just, there's like two main things, actually three main things. We're going to talk about what to do with your friends.
Your mutual friends.
What to do with the family. What do you do about that? And then we're going to kind of just wrap it up and just mention something about the whole big picture about it.
Yes.
Okay. So just
I like that.
Three things as trucks and things are going by. Okay. So basically, I guess the friends is kind of like two categories, really. Like, do you stay friends with your ex?
Mm-hmm.
Do you decide mutually that, okay, well, maybe we can be friends, but right now we have to just cut off ties so healing can begin, and then maybe we can still be friends.
Later.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or do you just say F you and move on, right? I mean, there's all different things
right.
about that.
Right.
So, and of course, everyone's situation is different, but we're speaking mainly from experience and stuff like that. So I have found for myself that in one situation, she just did not want to be friends. So I understood that.
Okay. So you understood that.
I understood that. And right. I honored that. The other one, another one, I was like, okay, I don't think we can be friends. And she said, oh no, we can be friends.
Okay.
And I'm like, okay, well, okay, maybe we can be friends.
Okay.
And then she said, oh, you know, we're trying to be friends here, but you're not really sharing enough of yourself.
Mm.
You're kind of hiding stuff. So I said, oh, okay, so let me show you more stuff. And then when I showed her more stuff, she was all like, okay, you're just trying to hurt me by showing me all that stuff.
Mm.
And I'm like, okay, thanks. So then after
rocking
that,
a hard place.
I know. So then after that, she just cut me off.
So she was the one who turned around and said, no, I can't.
Yes. And that I felt really hurt by that because I just did not see it coming.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was really fine not being friends. I was prepared, you know.
At the beginning.
I was prepared.
Right.
And then I felt kind of, you know, drawn in. Like, no, we can be friends. And I was trying and everything. And then all of a sudden it was like, no, we're not going to, I can't be your friend. Mm. And I really felt like, wow. Okay. And then sometimes I tell the person, we really...
Well, hopefully you won't be having to tell anybody
really
anything about this.
Be friends. And sometimes to this day, I feel bad for having said that. Because I think now, maybe if we were more adult, we could be friends. But anyway, so there's so many issues to discuss about whether you're going to be friends. Like, you're not friends with your ex.
Right.
Right?
I think so much of it has to do with just knowing yourself so well that you know how much you can handle,
mm-hmm.
you know,
right.
like I can understand, not wanting to be friends because it just hurts your heart too much to put yourself through that, to be around somebody that
well,
you might,
I guess it depends on who was dumped and who wasn't dumped.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly. So, but it does come down to knowing yourself and
yeah,
and
it does,
no
it
matter
does.
which side you're on, it's knowing how much you really can handle.
Right.
Yeah, on either end.
Right.
On either end.
Because for the person that I actually said, okay, we can't be friends, which is really unlike myself. Like, I always think, okay, no, you know, you can still remain in contact,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
you know, to some degree and stuff like that. But this one, I was like, we can't be friends. And partially because of, I base that because I was knowing myself, like what Tos was saying, because, you know, she fooled around on me many times, three times. I was the idiot, keep going back, right?
Mm.
And then I just felt like, and so many other things, you know, it was just so loaded. I was with that person for 7 years.
Mm.
And I just felt like, no, we can't have contact because look at me. I'm just like, keep going back and messing
okay.
myself up.
Okay,
hello.
Yeah.
I can't fall for any more traps here.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
So I needed that break. So it's always tough to decide where you're at and what is going to become, how the relationship is going to be transformed.
Yeah.
But then another friendship issue is, what about your shared mutual friends? Who goes right. with who? Who gets who? Right? Is it the person who knew them first? You would think, right?
Right.
But I think that what I've found, and Toast and I have discussed from like seeing some of our couple friends who have broken up, mm-hmm. And, you know, they move on and stuff like that. We found that even though we might have thought that, no, we are going to be very balanced and be right in the middle and remain,
you can all just get along,
solid friends with both parties. But we find that we lean towards one or the other, and
not in the sense that we think less of any one
not
person.
At all.
It's not that. It's more just the energy of the relationship,
mm-hmm.
Lends itself to being perpetuated more with one person than the other.
Mm-hmm. And then, you know, when it's a couple and the two people present themselves, okay, we are a couple, that's a whole different vibe from the individual's vibe,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it's kind of like getting to know them now as just themselves and, mm-hmm. you know, and then when they start dating someone else, getting to know them and the person they're dating and that energy they bring to the table. But I think the bottom line with that is to be okay that you will lean, be okay with that. And it doesn't mean, oh, you cut the other person off. No, it's just, you know, maybe you see them less,
mm-hmm.
but you still respect, you still, you know, you just, you can still cultivate the relationship. It just might be on a different level.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And then it doesn't mean that just because you lean, oh, that's the person that you're going to stay closer friends with forever. You may end up leaning the other way too later.
Mm.
Right? Everyone's growing differently and different rates and stuff like that. So I think as far as the friends go, you know, it just takes some thinking, really thinking and looking at the situation, and respect always needs to be in there.
Yeah, I think, and as we're, I'm sorry, go ahead.
And, you know, I think that's a big thing, but I think, but I do really think too that if out of the couple that's breaking up or that's broken up,
yeah.
I do think that whatever friend, whatever couple, whatever part of the couple brought a friend in because they had the relationship first, I really think that that is the relationship that should be honored. You know what I mean?
I think so. The people who are friends first should make it a priority.
Like they should get
to try
priority.
And be friends.
Yeah, like the ex
maintain that friendship yeah. first. Yeah,
the other person in the ex couple or whatever shouldn't try to just get in there because, well, that's my friend too. And I mean, true, but
so
I think
seniority,
that comes
yeah?
down to yeah, I think yeah. so because yeah. it comes down to, well, that person had a history,
sure.
has a history, and maybe you have cultivated a history too with the person. But you know, it's you kind of have to step back, look at the picture and just like let them see where they stand with things and
mm.
you know doesn't mean to shut down from that friend, that shared friend, but if that friend reaches out and
mm-hmm.
you know and yeah. you're open to it, then go for it.
It's kind of like just like family,
just like family,
like
and
if you break up with
thing.
If you know if there's a breakup
mm-hmm.
then and unfortunately this being a gay podcast talking about gay stuff, assuming that the partners are out to their families and the families are okay with it, then each partner is going to have a relationship with the other partner's family.
The in-laws.
Yeah, there's going to be an in-law relationship, exactly. Although I guess it's not law.
It's not technically in-law.
Just yet, but anyway. But yeah, that respecting your ex's relationship with their family, they had that relationship with their family first, so I think
yeah
even though you being the ex, you might have a relationship with the family also, like with their brother or mom or whatever, mm-hmm.
but
I think it's respect
think,
I think it's respect I think it's respectful though to step back from that and just be honest with everybody involved and say, you know, I don't think it's respectful of me to continue just hanging around and making it uncomfortable for the family. And
I think as long as you, because I don't think you should cut the family off, like just cut them off. I think you need to just, if you have developed relationships with them and you really care about them, I think they deserve to just hear from you that you care about them so much, but that because of this new situation now that you really think, you know, that the relationship should just, you should give the space to your ex.
Give them the precedence, allow them precedence.
Yeah, and not saying that it has to be one or the other, but, you know, you have to give, as exes, you have to give each other room. Give each other room, man. Let it breathe. Let the relationship heal so that everyone can move on. And, you know, if you decide to maintain a relationship with the family, just be balanced about it and think about it. Because, for instance, with one of my exes, I was really close to the family, but I did not remain in contact with them at all. And it was hard because I was with this person for 7 years, and I kind of grew up with the family because that was my first girlfriend. So that was really hard. But then in another situation, my ex before Toast, I decided to maintain a relationship with my ex's mom, but I changed how our relationship shows up. Like, we don't call each other. We don't talk on the phone. I don't receive phone calls from her. When I'm in Hawaii, I don't go over to her house. I will never go over to her house because I feel like it's a respect issue and I would never want to make anyone uncomfortable, myself included. But we do...
You don't email.
I don't email, and we do a Christmas and a birthday card.
You don't Facebook.
No. we do a Christmas and a birthday card, and I do write thoughtfully in there, like, okay, what I'm doing now. And she writes, you know, but that's what it is. It's 2 cards a year. That's what it is. And, you know, once in a while I do think, like, I wonder if I should stop doing this, you know, because... That is my ex's mom. And based on that fact, just that is my ex's mom, you know.
And how does it make my ex feel? Like that?
You know, I'm not even really thinking so much about how she feels because...
She might not even know.
I have no clue because she and I are not in... We're not in contact. Right. So, I don't know. But that's why I keep it to the minimum. Like, I don't... call and, you know, I don't do all of that stuff because then I may be presented with how she might feel. Right? And I just feel like, well, I mean, the mom and I were really close too. And so I've had to, you know, I sacrificed a lot by not keeping the relationship to how it could have been.
Okay.
But I think the 2 cards, I felt anyways that 2 cards aren't doing much harm. So, but I do wonder, you know, and I'm thinking sometimes I'm like, well, maybe it's time to let it go or whatever. But, so there's a lot to think about with the family because, for instance, the 7-year ex, that one where I have no contact with the family now, you know, honestly, one day I was visiting back home, Hawaii, and, what I came home to was my ex visiting my family.
Just hanging out at the house.
But not just my ex, my ex's new girlfriend. And not just my ex and her new girlfriend, but their 2 dogs. In my family's house, the house that I grew up in, they're all hanging out. And I was shocked. So, you know, I mean, you can spend a lot of time wondering why people do things. Which I have done and sometimes still do, but the bottom line is you have to decide what's going to be right for you. You have to know what you can handle
and what is okay with you.
What is okay with you? Your self-respect. How do you feel?
Right. When do you start feeling, you know, disrespected?
And you have to choose too. Like, if battles are going to be had, you have to choose which ones you're going to fight, which ones you're going to, you know, you want to stand up to and go through it all and explain things and all of that. Or do you just walk away? You know, but it's a tough situation and you have to just really think and think about who's involved. And I think, too, why you're doing what you think you want to do. you know, do you have malicious intention? Or do you really love the person? Or, you know, and think of, is there a happy medium? Is there a place where, you know, it can be a nice balanced place?
Where everybody is being respected.
Yeah, at least to the minimum.
As much as is possible.
At least to the minimum.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, I could go totally on and on, but I'm just not. But I do think that, you know, as long as you're honest with the family, you say, you know, I'm not going to be around like how I used to, but I love you guys and thank you so much. And you can do this in a card too, is fine, because it is uncomfortable to have to say it in person, face to face.
Sure.
Write a card, you know, maybe maintain a Christmas card if you're really close with them or whatever. But you have to just think of all of those things. And then also know that it doesn't mean it's the end completely.
Right.
Like, you may be able to pick up a friendship later down the line with the family.
There's more chance that you would be able to do that if everybody does feel respected by you.
Yeah, and have the breathing room to just heal, you know.
Yeah.
So we just thought we'd talk about that. But then also...
there's material for many more podcasts to come.
You know, it is. And if you have some ex-topic ideas... feel free to email us at mail@girlmeetsgirlpodcast.com.
Or just post it in the group, in the community.
You can post it in the group.
Start conversations.
But another thing that I'm aware of that I forget, though, sometimes, that we just wanted to mention is you have to really remember that your ex is just your ex. You know, she's not every single thing and, you know, every single emotional. It's not just, you know, your fault and her fault and all the situation and hurts and everything that you've gone through. It's not just all about that. You know, I have a feeling and what I found anyway is that if you take a look at your situation with the ex, and then you take a look at your past, you may find some patterns there.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, depending on what life lessons you've come to this lifetime to learn and what your life path presents to you as you're walking your path, there are things to heal. And you might find there are just these common things like, wow, this issue of abandonment keeps coming up for me, or this issue of self-worth keeps coming up for me, or whatever. And all of our relationships are there to help us heal and work on those issues that we come to this earth to deal with.
There's a larger story. You know, it's not there's just a the bigger, small story
there's
of
a
you
bigger
and the
picture.
Other person.
So it's way more. Like, for instance, with my ex that fooled around on me, there's way more than the fact that, yeah, she fooled around on me so many times. And I'm there just taking it. And I kept going back. It's way more. It's such a bigger picture than that.
It's not just about her.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's trust.
Absolutely.
It's my trust issues that I've come to this earth with. It's my abandonment issues. And it's my self-worth.
Hmm.
You know? So until I learn to deal with those things, I may have experiences that pop up where I'm again presented with an opportunity to deal with it. You know, so all of the exes and all the drama and all of that, you know, when we can get out of reaction mode and, you know, all the drama, which, yeah, that's the first thing for me. It's my first knee-jerk thing. It is, you know, but once I can get out of that and remember, okay, bird's eye view, let's look at the big picture here.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like, oh, okay, yeah, that's true. And everything just kind of falls into place and it's like, okay, it's not such a big deal. So,
wow, that gives me some good stuff to journal about this week.
Does it?
Yeah, I got to think more about and look back more on, like, with my issues and stuff.
Because
I love how just now you're able to just so clearly name what you feel are, you know, some core issues for you.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one of mine would be whether I feel like I'm enough.
Uh-huh.
I guess my...
That's a song. Good enough.
It is. That's why I wrote
it. That'd be a good song.
That's why I wrote it. But
I wrote it too.
I know. But yeah, I think it has to do with capability and ability, you know, but yeah. So that's why I got to journal more.
And I think too, like a lot of what, like our, the issues that we're presented with, like some of you listening may already know so clear, like, yeah, these are my issues, or, and not saying, you know, to hang out in those stories and live with them and continue your stories forever, because we want to grow out of it and let it go.
Right.
But, you know, I think you'll find that as you work on it, they're less and less obvious, you know, or the things that present themselves are just less dramatic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it might just be a little reminder, and you're like, oh yeah, you know what? I kind of been a little out of balance this week, or okay, thank you, universe, for that thing that happened, because yeah, I remember now. Okay, thank you. You know, you can do that, but I don't know. I was going to say something, but I forgot.
I know, it's getting...
Here. Yeah. But I think that when we grow up, like, you know, we may blame our families a lot of the time. You know, like, oh, my mom, blah, blah, blah.
Right, that's our story,
my dad,
right?
Blah,
yeah,
blah,
yeah,
blah.
Yeah.
Right? But I think if we look back in our more balanced times and just can kind of take a look back and try not to let our buttons get pushed too much, the issues we have as kids, or the things that become issues as kids,
mm-hmm.
tend to be our issues. You know,
I
it's not so willy-nilly, like, you know, oh, it's this then, and then next time it's this.
Right? Oh,
you'll
yeah,
find
yeah.
the pattern,
yes,
you know?
Yes.
And a lot of times it's like the parents, you know, they're doing the best they can
right.
with what they know at
right.
every given moment. I do believe that.
Right.
Okay?
I think everybody is, yes.
So
absolutely.
They, so... A lot of times what they're doing, what they're saying to you, how they're treating you is showing you your issues. So, for instance,
So not causing your issues, but showing you your issues. Is
yeah, because that's
that
another...
the difference you're
well,
making?
I think, well, honestly, no. Like, I think they could be causing the issues.
Okay.
But at the same time, I think we choose our parents. And now we're getting into this whole metaphysical woo-woo crazy world. But anyways, that's the relationship that we come into the world with. You have your parent. That's
right.
the relationship. That's
right.
your first relationship
right.
that the universe has given you to go, okay, start healing.
Mm.
Here we go, start healing. Mm. So maybe they don't necessarily cause it, but together you've met up.
To work on this
to,
thing.
Yeah, like, okay.
To have this experience.
Right, to have the experience.
And evolve from it.
And a lot of times, you know, we're not done. We're just starting like, okay, whoa, I'm dealing with self-worth from my parent because they did this and they keep telling me I'm not good enough or whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
They keep saying, why is this an A-?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so then that's, what does that tell the child? Well,
right.
wow. I'm not good enough.
That's not enough.
That's not enough. That's
yeah.
not enough.
Yeah.
Okay, so then the next thing they show up and then the child has another situation where, again, the feeling that they feel in reaction to that is, wow, I'm not good enough, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it's just situations that present itself. And I think that the ex, going back to the exes.
Okay, yeah.
That relationship, it also comes, it presents itself to help you heal the whole myriad of
right.
things that you
It's
are,
just another stitch in the tapestry.
It's another
of,
stitch,
of
yeah.
the pattern.
And it's so
yeah.
much bigger than what right. it can feel like
right.
in the given
oh
moment.
Oh my God, yes.
So I hope we didn't lose any of you sleeping already or walking away. We could go on and on, but we won't.
We'll save
care.
It for, we'll save
we
it
care.
For other episodes.
Okay, so enough, yeah, about that.
For now.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
So anyways, but feel
this
free.
This is a good topic, you know, to break it up, break it down. And
right.
Yeah.
Feel free to start a forum discussion on this. We will happily chime in or give more details. Okay, but you know what? We need a music break because
please, Darlene
dying.
Ahuna,
Darlene, help
us out. Okay, this is Darlene Ahuna from her album Aloha Fumehana, which means warm aloha. This song is called Hi'ilawe. Wow, Darlene Ahuna. All right. So if you listened to the last week's episode, you know that we are running a contest to win that album, Aloha Pumehana by Darlene Ahuna. And we're going to continue the contest for another week. So in order to enter, all you need to do is, if you haven't already, just vote for Girl Meets Girl at Podcast Alley. We have a link to do that in the show notes. If you've already done that from your 10 different email addresses, then, nah, just joking. Then you could join the email list for Girl Meets Girl. And we also will have a link to that in the show notes. Yep. And then we'll choose a winner from random at the next episode. All good right. luck, everybody.
So this past Labor Day weekend, so much was going on. We had the Ehulamal Festival in Long Beach.
Yes. And Ehulamal is a hula dance and chant competition.
I wonder if it was as hot at Ehulamal this year, you think?
I think it was in the area of hotness probably, as previous years.
But anyways, it's a wonderful festival out in Long Beach that we've played at many times. We didn't play there this year, but Daniel did.
Yes.
And I think it might have been one of his first times playing Ehulamal.
Our friend and a producer, Daniel Ho, played with Kawai Kapuakalani Hewitt, who is a very revered kumuhula.
You've heard in the past podcast episodes.
Yes. He lives in Hawaii, but he comes up here to do performances every so often, and he was there.
But the action wasn't just happening in Long Beach. It was also happening in Honolulu, Hawaii.
And we heard about this Okinawan festival.
Yes, we heard from some of you listeners, as well as V. Brown.
Of the 808 Talk podcast.
Mm-hmm. Everything Hawaii can be found on that podcast. But the Okinawan festival is so known for one sweet treat.
Come on.
We'll give you a moment to guess it. Okay, they can't guess it.
Okay. We gotta tell them.
The andagi.
Andagi is the Okinawan donut, basically, if you had to give it a quick, concise definition.
But what's a malasada?
Malasada is the Portuguese donut.
And they are different. The malasada is more for someone who wants something a little lighter, a little more sugary kind of person.
It's coated with
sugar.
Yeah, it's granulated sugar. I shouldn't say coated. I mean, it's sprinkled.
Lightly dusted with sugar, sparkling sugar. You can tell which one I love more. But anyways, so malasadas have yeast in it, and that's what gives it the rise, and there's more air in it. And so it's just lighter. It's not, we're not saying it's light, but it's lighter. And andagi.
Andagi is more dense, and it does not have sugar around it. It's just deep fried, and it's a dark, dark color usually, right?
And the best ones have a crunchy tail.
And those of you who know andagi know what we're talking about.
A crunchy brown tail.
And also andagi is usually about the size, in between the size of like a golf ball and about a golf ball maybe.
Yeah.
Golf ball, tennis ball.
Golf ball.
Yeah, golf ball. And malasada is more like the size of a tennis ball, I would say.
Yeah.
But malasada is not round shaped. Usually it's more like a rectangle. Kind of a rectangle.
Malasadas?
Oh, maybe I've been having
a rectangle.
Maybe I've been having more. Well, not a perfect rectangle. Maybe I've been having the mainland kind malasadas for too long.
Where on the mainland are you getting malasadas?
I don't know.
You know what I mean? Festivals at that one place and stuff. That they were trying to make it.
Yeah, yeah. See, maybe that's why I forget already.
I think it's round.
More
maybe
round.
Maybe Hilo has ones.
It's like ovally.
Yeah, oval.
It's
see,
not.
Come on. Do dykes not know their shapes as well as colors?
I guess not. Yeah, it's an oval. It's not, because andagi is round.
Andagi is round.
It's round.
That's, and it's hand rolled and dropped.
That's a sphere.
Yeah.
Okay, but malasadas, it's a sphere. Mm-hmm. But a malasadas is not a sphere.
No.
Okay.
But it's also not rectangular.
That's true.
Okay.
And they're not vegan.
They're not vegan. Nothing, none of this is vegan. So anyways, there was a lot happening everywhere. And the Okinawan Festival also had an andagi eating contest.
It's a waste of andagi.
And
the underdogs.
Not
underdog.
Not underdog.
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 That's the pigeon version of underdog, huh? Hey, underdog. Now, so I saw on Vernon Brown's, V Brown's Twitter account. He
ate underdogs?
He had a sign. He posted a picture of a sign and it said underdog. And so I was like, I don't know. I have no idea what that is.
That's like a corn dog.
That's what I'm just, do you know that for a fact?
I know that for a fact.
Okay. That makes sense. That's what I assumed. I was like, it must be like a corn dog, but instead of the batter must be made of the andagi batter.
Anda batter.
Yeah. And it kind of made me want one. But
a vegan, anda vegan dog.
Yeah. We can't. So we have to eat like one of those like fake.
Vegan hot dog.
Yeah. Vegan
soy
hot dog.
Yeah.
And vegan andagi batter somehow.
Mm-hmm. On the vegan dog.
On the vegan dog. What is that? Is it Swedish?
Yeah, I think it's Swedish or German.
It's on the vegan dog. Somebody who knows Swedish has to tell us.
On the vegan dog. What we're saying.
Yeah, maybe yeah. It's,
well,
it's
I, a we word. Might be saying something.
Maybe it's a word. On the vegan dog.
On the vegan dog.
Like that? How do they talk?
I'm the vegan dog. I'm the vegan dog.
We're so being not politically correct.
I know.
We're like totally talking about a lady on the other podcast, and now we're making fun of other cultures.
We're trying to. We're trying to sound Swedish.
what
we imagine have we become? Swedish to be.
Okay. Anyhow,
part of my issues,
but anyways, okay, so
that's what I'm gonna journal about this week.
We found an article talking about andagi, and it was a really funny article because it talked about how former president Clinton, and how he went to the Okinawan festival and had some I was gonna say andadogs, but andagi. He had some andagi and he kept going back. Walking away, going back, walking away, going back. And then the very next day, the festival is still going on, and he had his service people go pick up a bunch of andagi.
That's great.
So that's great. There are andagi lovers, but I think he would like the malasada better.
I wonder if he tried the malasada as well.
I don't know. But
that's great.
So anyways.
Okay. Whew, boy.
That's the story of the weekend, the Labor Day weekend.
Yes.
We had a very full weekend working, doing lots of stuff, and but we did have a nice time again at our friend's farm. So we sort of had like a mini break, and then we capped the night off with a friend's birthday party.
And now we're capping off this long Labor Day weekend with you.
Yeah.
So thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening. Don't forget to vote. Don't forget to enter the contest by voting. Or by signing up to be on our email list, and we won't spam you or send you unnecessary information.
Are you getting tired or what?
Yeah, I'm tired now.
Okay.
Because of all the underdog talking.
Underdog talking. Oh, that reminds me. That reminds me. Dale posted in the community that he wants the Japanese talking man to come back.
He does.
So I gotta go look.
What about the Filipino? What about the Filipino Barong Tagalog wearing uncle?
Maybe they're all hanging out together.
Mm.
So I gotta go look for a Japanese talking man because I don't know where he is.
Yeah.
I got to go look him up. I lost touch with him.
He's probably at the Okinawan Festival.
So, probably. Yeah.
But then if he's Japanese, he might not be.
Nah, they're all buddies now already. Mm.
Maybe he's wearing purple with a fan on it. At the waiting in the underdog line.
Okay. Oh my gosh. All right. So we're ending this podcast episode on a truly Hawaii note. Mahalo.
Bye.
For listening.